good dish for that, brother. You look good. I would do it for sure, except there's a slight problem I have. It's just a minor setback, but I don't know what you're believing for 2019, but I'm believing still. I've noticed my chest hair is growing, my armpit hair is growing, my ear hair is growing, my nose hair is growing. I've even got great growth on my back hair, Lucian, but I ain't got nothing growing on top of my head. All the visualistic people right now, that's because you ate too much over Christmas. It serves you right. So good. Oh, dear. Well, I want to share. I was thinking about what to share at the final message. Oh, can I throw this at you? I was thinking about what I was going to share in the final message of 2018. And you know, I was thinking perhaps we could do a great message on you know, what you've got to lay down. And you know, we could do kind of an ending message, or we could do a taking up message. I kind of was in two minds about, you know, which direction we would go. But I believe God spoke to me and wanted us to pause a moment so that we could set ourselves up for 2019. I don't know whether you realize this, but I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in fate. I believe in Jesus. And I believe that He has delegated to us more authority than we realize. And because we have an issue sometimes, you know, we do. We kind of tend towards being, you know, sometimes more Calvinistic or not, which means, you know, it's all kind of laid out that those whom He foreknew, He predestined. Therefore, if it's predestination, then, you know, we just kind of got to go with it. And if it's meant to be, it'll be, you know. I don't believe any of that. I actually believe that we are incongruently connected to our own destinies. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't believe that when you pray and ask God whether you should use this toothpaste or that toothpaste, that He answers you. I believe you're just hearing voices in your head. I also actually don't believe that God cares, inverted commas, often whether you take that job or this job. And yet we pray about that stuff. I think He goes, you're a big boy, you're a big girl, pick the best job that you think. Weigh it up, engage your brain, because sometimes what we do is we literally feel and position ourselves like passengers on this life. Well, Lord, you lead. You lead me, Lord, and I'll follow. Following Jesus. We're just going to walk along following Jesus. And is it any wonder then that when people meet Christians, they think that there's something wrong with them? They're just walking along following Jesus. Praise Lord, hallelujah, God bless you. Amen, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. You know, you turn up into the bank, make a deposit, what you here for? I'm just following Jesus. Right, but you're at the bank. Yep, God told me to come, make a deposit. Have you got any money? Nope. He's just going to supply my needs. I'll wait. Nope, you're going to be locked up. Because our lives are not meant to be passive. We're meant to be on the front foot. God gave us brains to engage. Do you know why your head's on the top? So that you don't forget it. Because it's meant to be used all the time. But what God does is He does this wonderful thing. Is He weaves His will into our everyday. And He makes the mundane magnificent. And He makes the ordinary extra. Extraordinary. And He makes the natural super, supernatural. And He makes the plain divine. When we allow Him to speak into it, God gives you the desires of your heart. In other words, He's planted it deep on the inside of you already. And then when you wait, you hear His voice. It awakens that which was deep within you. And you begin to step into your destiny. And it should be the most natural thing you've ever done in your life. Because God never leaves us or leads us where He can't keep us, but He's always with us. But what He wants us to do is walk with Him. He doesn't, you know, we follow Jesus, but we do it side by side. And that seems like a crazy concept. And so I need to set this up so that your heads are right as we look forward into 2019. Because what's happened in 2018 is some of you have taken things that God has spoken into your heart and you just sat there and waited for them to come. And you've been hoping and praying, God, I'm just waiting for my Christmas present from heaven. Gets awkward, doesn't it? For everybody. Poor people listening to this podcast afterwards and beginning to go, what the heck? He's had too much eggnog. I've never had eggnog. It looks disgusting. I don't even know what that is. Egg? In a drink thing? Nog? It's disgusting. Every year since we came up to City Point North and took this project on and this church on, and it became a family, and you know, it kind of started as a project and then it got under my skin and took over my life. Damn it. And now I'm stuck here for the rest of my life because I don't want to go. But we sought God for a word to hold on to. And I don't know how you are, but I'm really not that complicated. I just kind of had this picture of my faith walk where I go, if I can just get one word from you, God, I can keep going. You know, and so when we first came up, I began to pray and seek God, and he gave me the word for that year, because we were definitely in over our heads. And the word for 2011 when we came up was survive. And I was like, I took two things out of that. I saw the challenge, and I also saw the fact that we would, because that was my word. So when I thought maybe some days that I wouldn't, I remembered the word, and I remembered I could just keep going. You can do this. You can make it through. And often, and ever since then, I've kind of waited on God for a word every single year. And it's not that I need it, but I love it, and God meets me at my level of faith that I then put into action. And so I then came stretch was the next word. Wow, that was definitely the year 2012, stretch. Then there was stand. Then there was walk. And every year we've had this word. And this last year we had the word deeper. Do you remember that? Anybody remember the word for the year deeper? And I love that God always leads as he pleases and not as we think. And deeper meant for a lot of us moving the goalposts. Deeper meant what was working the previous year wasn't going to work this year because he wants us to go deeper. And so he took away some of the training wheels off our lives, and we fell over and people crashed and bruised their knees. And they were like, this isn't what I kind of expected. Maybe you're one of those people. The bar got lifted and the foundation needed to be deeper. And deeper sometimes hurts, because it means digging through some of the stuff that's been there for so long. And it's not that the stuff is wrong, it's just stuff. But to go deeper, to get the foundation deeper, you still got to dig it out. It's nothing against it, but we've got to dig. We've got to shift some of these things, and so that deeper work began. And we went on the journey, and here we are at the very end of the year looking back. And also turning around and looking over the balcony to the new year. 2019. And I believe that God gave me a word for 2019. Do you want to know what it is? No? Does anybody want to know what the word for 2019? Okay, I'm just wondering if anybody wants to know the word for 2019. Okay, great. The reason I'm building it up, because the word is expectation. Expectation is the word that God gave me to 2019. And I like this word because its meaning is this. It's a strong belief that something will happen or be the case. In the Greek, it literally means, I can have my slides up anytime. That would be just awesome. We're about two or three in. And literally means intense anticipation in the Greek. It's leaning in as far as you could possibly lean, imminently expecting something to shift and or happen. But expectations can be incredibly dangerous because they are immoral. Did you know that? Meaning they either can be good or bad depending on the situation and the circumstance. They're not right or wrong in and of themselves. Do you remember a while back we had Pastor Brian Mulherin come and he began to speak and he spoke on faith and ruined all of our lives by launching off with faith is amoral. We thought faith was a Christian word, but faith is not a Christian word. It's just a word of belief, a trust in. And that faith, literally, you could have faith that things would work badly. You could have faith that things won't turn out. And so very much, it's very similar to this word expectation. And so really, we've got to be so careful about the way that we approach our faith and our expectation. We've got to speak right so that we can live right. We've got to believe right so that we can receive right. Death and life are in the power of the... And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. That literally we frame our worlds by the words that we say every single day. And so when we capture ourselves speaking things out of our mouths, it helps locate not just our heart but our belief system. And I actually like it. I like locating that. I like to talk to myself in the third person all the time. Don't you, Rick? Yes, I do. And because many times I'll catch myself saying or doing something and I go, oh, look at you. Why are you thinking like that, white boy? You know, maybe you could have got away with that when you were younger, but now that you are older and wiser, man in his 50s, you got to pull this stuff together. Where's your teeth? You know, just got to arrest those thoughts and like the Bible says, bring them captive. Again, so that your faith and your expectation is kind of lining up to the things of God. Charles Kettering said this, high achievement always takes place in the framework of high expectation. That you won't achieve great things for God if you don't believe you can. But what if you had a greater expectation? What if you looked back and you thought about 2018? I don't know what you thought about 2018. I had a pretty good time. I enjoyed it. It's been a good year. I ran 50 kilometers. Beat that. Oh, shut up, Gordon. He did. He ran it in mountains. Like, forget that. He's crazy. How many toenails did you lose? Three or four? Three, yeah. I didn't lose any. Thank you, Jesus. See, better. I had some great expectation, but I'm looking at 2018 as almost a practice round for 2019. I'm believing for some great things in 2019. I'm believing for great things in my family. I'm believing for great things in my finances. I'm believing for great things in my function. I'm believing for great things in all the parts of the world that my hands touch, that my mind wanders to. I'm believing for increase in my friends. I'm believing for breakthrough in your lives and in your families. I'm believing that if you're not married and you want to get married, then 2019 is fantastic for you. I'm believing that if you are married and you're wishing your spouse would be saved again in Jesus' name, that would happen for them. I want to believe with you for those who've got wayward children, that they would come back to Jesus. Partners that aren't following him to start to follow him. I believe for an awakening on the inside of the hearts of men, that even though people may have quietened your voice a little in 2018, in 2019, you're going to discover you got a voice again. You got something on the inside of you. You got a little bit of a spring in your step. You've got an expectation now that you're going to do this. You know, when I was running that 50-kilometer mark, I really liked it because they had the kind of the turnaround marker was past halfway. And so I kind of know if I got there, I'm just coming back, you know. But it was even better because there was even further than what I had anticipated. So my expectation on that turnaround began to fuel me for the second half of my race. I believe and feel like I have just entered the second half of my race, and I will run just as strong as in the first half of my race. What are you expecting in this turnaround time that God begins to speak? God gave me a verse. Can I share it with you? Psalm 62, verse 5 in the King James Version. Psalmist writes, my soul waits silently for God alone. I love the exclusiveness of this. For my expectation is from him. I will wait silently. See, this isn't about hyping you up. And I could do that. I could go, oh, let's hype everybody up. It's so exciting. But I like the fact that we can wait on our knees alone in our bedrooms, in our cars, as we're walking down the road somewhere, not through my own frame of reference or perception, but washed through the Word, washed through the will of the Father. I will wait. My expectation isn't from my ability. My expectation is from God's hand, from His way, from His will. I'm going to find the promise in the Word of God, and I'm going to stick them on my mirror at home, or I'm going to plaster them on my brain so that I can continue to speak His Word out every day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you, God, I am the head and not the tail. Thank you, God, that I am above only and not below. Thank you, God, that He who begun a good work in me will complete it. Lord, I pray and I stand in the gap that my family will come and know You as Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, that You've blessed us so that we can be a blessing, Lord. We're not living with just enough. We're serving the God of more than enough. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, that You're saving my household. Thank You, God, that You're increasing my influence. Thank You, God, that to me, I have an expectancy that God is going to do something in and around my world, and my conversation is going to be linked to my belief system in this. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, in the Passion translation. I like this. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe in expectation, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of what? Of God? You see what it says here? The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Waiting, anticipating, having an expectation that God is going to begin to do something. And there's been, and there always is a pushback from the world. You know, the devil sees the scripture and he doesn't go, wow, that's the end of it for us then. Sucks to be the devil. All going downhill, going to crap. Oh, I'm allowed to say that once on Sunday. It's the last day of the year. I'm 50 years old. I can barely remember anything. It's all going downhill by now. There's always a pushback from the world to see whether your faith has substance. Do you know, oftentimes, it is not to disqualify, but rather qualify you. They want to see if you believe what you say you believe. They want to know that they can trust you. They want us to be different. They need us to be different. People are looking for permission to believe again. And you're the one who carries that message of the cross. Christ in me, the hope of glory. What a wonderful thing if through your consistent life, you shine and preach Jesus every single day and you never even opened your Bible at work. What if you just lived your life as salt and light, had that expectation? Because I believe more than ever before, we need to live our lives in such a way that people are captivated by the joy around us, by the peace in our worlds, by the trust, by the expectancy that we have. Not in circumstances, because they will see those continue to shift. Because I don't know whether you figured it out or not, but that's life. Have you noticed that? Life doesn't follow the rules. Life is actually lived forwards and understood backwards and sometimes not understood at all. And if you're seeking to understand life, then you're missing the point, because it's a journey. And but we believe in a God that we believe in, and He is our source of joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, not the happiness of my situation, my contentment. No, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He is the Prince of Peace who comes into me. The Bible says this, that if you know, you can ask God and He gives to us peace, and it surrounds us, it mounts up and guards around us. So that literally means that, as in the book of Matthew, remember the story when they're on the boat and Jesus is the only guy who's asleep on the boat? Was Jesus a fisherman? Have you ever been on a rough boat and tried to sleep? It's never going to happen. So how could He do it? Because He's the Prince of Peace. What is that saying? He says, I don't always have to stop the storm, but I'll always be the peace. That even through the middle of the storm, you can sleep and be at ease because you know that if I'm with you, you're going to make it to the other side. That's why he was ticked. Two things. He was in the middle of a really cool dream. And the other thing, he said, I told you we'd get to the other side. I told you that we would. Why would you doubt that? Peace stands out. Sometimes in those trials of life, when you are operating and standing in a joy that doesn't come from circumstances, when you see and carry a peace in and around your world, when people see a captivating trust in a God they don't even believe in, and your life is going through hell, it'll draw the attention more than any other time, and they will go, that faith is real. And you'll preach Jesus like you never thought you could. Lives will be transformed by it. And maybe, just maybe, in 2019, have you ever thought that maybe you're somebody's answer? That maybe God looked through time and space and selected you, hand-selected you, to make a difference in somebody's life. You may be the very first step on them coming back to Jesus Christ, or you may be the one who leads them through these doors. But the truth is, you don't know the part that you get to play until afterwards. And even then, sometimes you don't see it. But my challenge is you, can you play your part? Can you have an expectancy in your heart? Philippians 1 verse 20, Paul writes, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That Paul is saying, I have to stir up this expectation in my life and in my world as I go into this journey that he has for me, that I will not be ashamed in it. I'm not going to kind of hedge my bets. And sometimes we like to play it really, you know, kind of close and easy, don't we? Not going to have a lot of risk in that. And I don't know whether you're a little bit like me, but sometimes, you know, some of the big things that come up in our world, maybe it's an offering moment and God will tell me a number. And I was thinking that was his phone number and not the amount I should give. I was like, Lord, are you sure? And he goes, of course I'm sure, you know, or he'll want you to pray for somebody and you'll be like, oh man, no, I don't know if I've got the faith to believe for that. Or he'll want you to ring somebody up and touch base with them, you know. Why don't you just ring this person and tell them how, oh, well, yeah, what if I'm, you know, seen as a weirdo? It's okay, we're already seen as a weirdo. So you're actually okay. But he's going, according to what? According to my earnest expectation. According to my earnest expectation, what is going to be the governing force in your miracles, in your breakthrough, in your manifestation? Is it according to your earnest expectation? Have you ever considered that? It's not according to his. All things have been given to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness, the Bible says, is already given to us. So it's really just a lot up to us. Remember what I talked about right at the very beginning? We've been waiting for God to do it. God's been waiting for you to do it. He's like, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for you. No, I'm waiting for you. You first. No, you first. I told you, I already did it first. I died. Your move. Beat that. He didn't say, I've nearly finished. Ow, that hurts. He said, it's finished. Now it's your time to step up and do what God has called you to do. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, for what do I expectantly wait? My hope, my confident expectation is in you. That it's not this you know, esoteric framework that I have, but rather it is a foundation and a source of my spirit, man, that I am intimately and infinitely connected to the purposes and the will of God. Because why? I take the time to make sure I do that. How do we know that he hears us if we pray according to his will? 1 John chapter 5 says that. So how do I know it's his will? Because it's in his word. So I get into his word, so I know his will, so I pray his will and I work it out every single day and I can have an expectation and lean on that. What if the only thing holding me back from my next, whatever that next is me? What if God has already laid it all out there and now he's just waiting for me to take that step, to take up the challenge? Am I expecting the same as I head towards this new year? Or am I expecting something more? Am I expecting to just get by? Or am I expecting something more? Do you know, expectation and faith can sometimes seem at odds, can't they? I don't know whether you've ever studied it out, but when they're first considered, you can kind of feel like they're almost, you know, antithesis to each other. In fact, psychologists steer away and take a lot of time to steer people away from having high expectations. Do you know why? Because it often leads to disappointment and disillusionment. So if you're seeing a psychologist or even a psychiatrist, they will try to steer you away from having a high expectation because it, you know, it can, you know, cause you to go from this high bump to a low. And so they kind of smooth it all out and even it all out. And I get that and I love that. And trusting God's will and his way and expectation could almost place pressure on God to perform at your perceived level too, can't it? When we believe it, you know, you've been around like me, you know what the sayings, you know, I believe it and you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You know, all you got to do is pray, wave your magic wand, New King James Version wand, and you get your answer. You put $5 into the bucket, I'm believing God for a hundredfold, you know, increase. How much am I going to get? $500. So you put your $5 in this Sunday and you wait. Doesn't stinking work. Because who knows that when you do it that way, it's, you know, God doesn't fit into our perception box. Have you figured that out? If God could fit into your perception box, then he wouldn't be God. If you could figure God out, or you thought God was tame, God's not tame. He's not tame, he's not contained. He is infinite. His ways are higher than our ways. On our best day, I hate to break it to you, but you're dumber than a plank of wood. That's been left out in the yard for about 600 years. Eaten by termites and pooed out the back end. That's your best day. When you settle on that fact and you go, I have no idea, but I'm going to follow anyway, then you got some chance of doing it. Some of my greatest, I guess, exploits of faith is when I've almost had the dumbest thoughts enter my mind, but just did it anyway. And God goes, he's so cute, stupid, but cute. And just pours his favor. I think God loves that. And that's a key because he says, unless you come to me like a little child, you'll not see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is God's way of seeing and operating in this world. That's what the kingdom of God is. If you want to access and enter the kingdom of God, then you've got to kind of connect in with the way that God sees and connects. But we go, well, I expect for God to answer me straight away. I expect God to tell me what I'm supposed to do right now. I expect to know all the answers. I expect to be better at this. I expect my spouse to make me feel better. That's her job. She told me that when we got married and it was in the vows. I made sure I put it in there. I expect the world to be a better place to live in. How's that going? Because how can we consolidate, I guess, these two concepts that seem contradictory to one another when we talk about expectations that we have that constantly are let down and faith that we're called to live by, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we can't even look into 2019 without a faith that is going to be active and proactive in our world if we want to please God. But how do we kind of join these two concepts together? And expectation and faith do go together. The commonality between the two is action. That's the commonality. Action is the thing that brings expectation and faith together. Because when we act in faith, we're not, passively and simply throwing our hands in the air going, God's going to fix this, you know, the serenity prayer. We put our faith into action. We act through prayer first and foremost. We act by then taking heed according to the word of God, by being a hearer and a doer of the word, by understanding and embracing the cause and the call of Christ. When we join those two together, we can expect that by doing so, we can trust in God that he will deliver on the promises that he's made according to his word. We can expect that when we seek God, we will find him. If we seek him with an expectation to find him, he is there. He is discoverable. The blessings are not hidden away, never to be found again. They are meant to be discovered, but he wants people with faith and expectation. We expect to be servants of Christ, to be led by our faith. We expect to walk with Jesus and be consecrated in and to him. We expect to stand up as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not apologizing for the work that he did on the cross. We have an expectation. And we need to carry ourselves with that expectation and our faith, literally partnering together to call and cause the very will and purposes of God to be manifested in our world. Henry David Thoreau said, "We must learn to reawaken and keep ourselves awake, not by the mechanical aid, but by infinite expectation of the dawn. Though we sow in tears, we will reap in joy. Though we cry the night away, we will reap in joy." That we will have this incredible expectation that one day Jesus is coming back. And a lot of people almost look to the second coming with a little bit of fear in and around their world. But there should be no fear in it. It is going to be fantastic. The very first thing that we get to do when Jesus comes back is eat. That just shows me that I am a man after God's own heart, because I started early and I have an expectation to work my way through the heavenly buffet from start to finish for His glory as the band comes. What are you expecting? When we bring God's expectation of us and our expectation of who God is into the picture, faith comes naturally in that moment. And then we just have to step out and act in that. We just have to choose what expectation we'll have. Are we expecting like we have, "Well, nothing ever works out for me"? Guess what you're doing? You're activating your faith through expectation. "Well, you don't understand, man. Maybe I'm under a curse." Whoa, careful. Hey, stop. Do you know, there are so many things that I think that never crosses my lips. I know that surprises my wife. But there are many, many things that I think that never crosses my lips because I can't afford it to. There are many times in my life when things or situations that I may be going through seem so overwhelming. But the one thing I have learned to do is just shut my cake hole and shift my expectation. If everything is going down this way, I will get into the Word of God and I will find a word that I can hold on to. And I'll go, "I know this is what my circumstances say, but this is what Your Word says." And my expectation, which activates my faith, is not based upon my situation, my preference, my perception, but upon the Word of God. And so I set my face like flint, like Isaiah said, and I will not be moved by it. And like Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." God is a good God. When everything goes down and goes horrible, God is still a good God. When I pray for them and they died, God is still a good God. When I thought it would work out and it didn't, God is still a good God. When I thought that this would be my breakthrough and it almost was like my breakdown, God is still a good God. And the story isn't over. While there's breath in my lungs, my job is to have an expectation of a better tomorrow, because that's what Jesus died for. What are you expecting from God as you close your eyes? Think about 2019. Maybe you haven't. Are we just hungry for instant gratification? Have we forgotten what it really truly means to wait on God? Man, we're about to come into a period of fasting and prayer where we literally pause this crazy thing called life. Because our own upbringing at times, our culture, our society has made us conform to certain expectations. And well, everybody knows, never succumb to that statement. That's just the way it is. Never succumb to that statement. Because God is the one who takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. God is the one who takes the foolish and confounds the wise with that one. That God will take something so simple and make it so magnificent if you allow Him to. How can we stand tall in God's expectations of us? Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world's expectations, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So what are you doing? You're reprogramming your mind as you look into 2019. I want you maybe just to begin to think, What have I settled for in 2018? What did I let go of? How did that get in and around my world? How did I lose that? Or maybe you lost it a while back. But you're looking into 2019 right now. You're peering over that balcony and the Holy Spirit is whispering deep into your soul. What about this? Oh, Lord, you don't understand. Really? You're going to tell God he doesn't understand? Good luck with that. Maybe it's to start studying. Maybe it's, see, it's because it's not about giving. Maybe it's about trust. So it's time to begin to trust God with your finances and start being generous. Maybe you stop praying for that loved one, for that friend who's been away from God. What is your expectation for 2019? Maybe you just got settled in your job and you've hated it and you feel trapped and stuck. But you just thought, well, it is what it is. But maybe you go, no, maybe my expectation is going to be shifting. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a colleague. Maybe it's your finances. Well, this is just, maybe you've been believing God for a house. I'm believing somebody here was almost letting that dream die. Get your faith up there again. Get your faith up there again. Get your expectation up there again. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seeking first God, having a heart towards him, aligning yourself with the purpose and the cause of Christ. Father, we take this moment to just steady ourselves. In just over a week, we're going to start fasting and waiting upon you for 2019. It's so important to us. We've never done 2019 before. We're not sure. We're not sure if we're ready for it. We don't even know what to wear. We don't know if we're going to be able to act the same way that we act. We got no idea, Lord. What does 2019 look like in your church? We got things that we guess at. We're going to hope that it's going to be like this, but we don't know what you got planned. So we need to settle ourselves. It's too important. We've never had 2019 before. This is the first time we're ever going to do this, and the only time we're going to do it. We don't want to mess it up. This could be somebody's eternity in the balance. This could be a family in the balance. This could be the year that we get our house, the year that we set up the business, the year that the ministry kicks off, the year that our influence begins to grow, the year that we believe for years and years and years for their salvation and they're going to get saved. What an incredible year this is going to be. So we need to just stop and wait upon you. Stir up our faith and activate our expectation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And maybe you come out this morning, and I don't know where everybody's heart is with God today, but maybe on your journey with God, you've been a little bit away from